So I'm interested in politics, spending time to read it, and I got some complaints from some people. I cannot mention the name here, sorry. And it could be nice if we could talk a little bit about how harmful it is. If it's harmful, then I can understand a little bit more about that, how harmful it is or whatever.
It's a natural support, decisive support.
Accumulations. But I don't think we need to present it in the way that it's harmful, right?
Is it kusala or akusala?
I don't know. I mean, politics is, we cannot say it's kusala or akusala, but depending on...
Okay. Attachment is kusala or akusala?
Akusala.
So, is it not attachment?
I think for me it's attachment to
for
a topic.
For everyone now, there is attachment. It doesn't mean that only on politics, anything which appears. Otherwise, how can King Pimpisara be the king of Magadha? It's only Panya, not the situation or the story, because there is attachment now. No matter it's on politics or whatever. That's why there should be the understanding of the kusala and akusala, because that is right understanding, and it's not me or mine, it's only reality which appears at moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking. No difference at all. Politics or household, kitchen or garden or whatever.
And when people object or don't like this interest, then for them they have to consider what the reality too is. Would any of the nameless people like to make any comment?
A little. Comment about a chance comment and certain comments.
Actually, I understand there's a nature of everything. But I think the problem is not we complain about interest or people's interest or something. It's just that sometimes we share that how we see the deity in our viewpoint. For example, when we're fighting for the democracy, it doesn't mean it's kusala. And what I mean is just you have to make sure that you don't take the wrong thing to be the right thing and vice versa.
I think her point, Jan, is that she thinks that it's not just attachment, but someone may consider it's something more important, that there may be some view that this is the right way to do things.
It's wrong view or right view? Wrong view or right view? Right understanding or wrong understanding? As the reality is, nature of it.
Yes, the reality is.
Yeah. So what is wrong understanding or wrong view? And what is right understanding?
I'm sorry, I cannot catch you watching. You mean both wrong view
no,
and...
No, I mean that what is wrong and what is right understanding or view. Any moment. Not only politics. Cooking, dressing, eating...
She was referring to the moments when we take, like, fighting for democracy, for example, or fighting for something to be kusala. Then
when
that
you
moment,
think about the others, not only yourself, if you just sit quiet, but you can do many things for the others, what would you do?
For me, the Dhamma is the best gift.
Every moment is Dhamma. Warrior can study, can understand reality.
But when there's the view,
yes,
that this is kusala.
You know what happened? What had happened in Thailand before this government. See, before this government, what had happened. And we do not sit still at all. If we can help, we can help in all, everywhere. Not just only Dhamma. Because Dhamma means that there can be sacrifice or nekama, not for yourself, but for the other, for the whole nation. Otherwise, what's the use of understanding reality? Not doing anything for the others at all. That's why the followers of the Buddha is not limited at all for everyone.
There are the 10 punya kriya vatu.
Yes. And thinking, helping the others. Not to just think about yourself.
I think there are so many moments.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we think we are helping
others. That we are here, all of us are interested in politics too. More or less.
To greater or lesser degree, we all have an interest in politics.
Yes.
It's just a matter of degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what degree? Because it had happened in Thailand before, and we know how can we be away from such situation before this government.
Mm-hmm. But also, isn't there an assumption in what we're saying that if one wasn't so interested in politics, that the citta would be more kusala?
No, not at all.
So what's the question then?
I think I'm trying to clarify Tiny Tan's point that it's not so much that she doesn't agree that with that interest, that only she wants to discuss the point where there can be many moments of mistaking what it's not necessarily kusala to be a kusala, because it's a story. When you say we're fighting for democracy and it's a kusala, it is a story, right?
Right.
Yes, I think it's her point.
Sure.
So she's not so much that she objects that interest,
right,
but she just wanted to discuss about that so it can be clear to avoid taking that whole story to be kusala.
Right. So the issue is taking conventional good for being kusala, right? Yeah.
What about kindness? What about compassion?
Right.
For the country, for the people?
It depends on the citta of the individual.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So one understands oneself, what for? Yes. Not for oneself, but for the others.
Well, you can't tell yourself that it's not for oneself, it's
one
for others.
One knows that it's not for oneself.
Different moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like,
why do we study and why do we share our understandings for oneself or for the others? Because the moment when you think of the others, it is your own kusala. At that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for I, but also for the others too. So while we are sharing the understanding, it is for us, for everyone. But at the same time, my citta is kusala. So the kusala conditions such moments of discussion.
Seems to
be. If not, I go back. See?
I think at any time the jitta will be mixed in the sense of not pure kusala, not pure akusala.
I think that kusala is kusala, but we cannot stop the arising of akusala in between.
Right.
So the point or the motive of it must be kusala.
Yes. So even now if I'm discussing Dhamma, I may also be concerned about whether I'm being appreciated or whatever. You know, there's mana involved, obviously, and I cannot claim my motives are pure kusala. But
can,
there is kusala and there is also
can kusala mix with akusala?
Not at the same moment.
See, but so kusala must be kusala.
Alternate
and akusala must be akusala.
Yeah.
No one can stop akusala and kusala at all.
Mm.
It depends on accumulation.
Mm.
If something that I can help many people in Bangkok now, I go back.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that where am I is for the others,
right.
No matter here or Bangkok,
right,
or anywhere,
right.
So not just for me, for anyone.
That's easy enough to see in the case of discussing the Dhamma, but if we were discussing politics instead,
this is Dhamma.
Yes.
The life of Bodhisattva before he became enlightened is just like now.
Right.
For others, that is the great compassion, not only for him.
But would there be the same degree of kusala if the subject was
what
politics?
Do you mean degree? If I can do something for the country, for the other, for the whole, for the world, just me, it doesn't matter. I can do that.
But just thinking that one is doing it for the country or for others doesn't make it kusala.
For kusala too, because if country is just like that, how come the situation to study and to live better?
It seems to me that one can think one is doing it for the others and
at
be,
that moment
and be
there can be a right above. Understanding of that moment is not
sure.
Self, if this is the point.
Understanding has been developed, then Panya will know
certainly, because you see that otherwise the self is there, the master of the world, the attachment to oneself.
But when it's a conventional topic, not Dhamma.
I think that,
can one generalize
that if there's no reality, there's no conventional situation. If there's no citta, citta-sika, can there be conventional situation? So we think just about conventional situation, but not really understand citta at that very moment.
The important thing is understanding citta-cita-sika.
Yeah.
Sometimes the difficulty in talking about politics and whether there are kusala jitta or akusala jitta is that in politics, and especially when there are more extreme divisions of opinion, people will think one side is right and the other side is wrong. In Thailand, it could be the red shirts, the yellow shirts, it could be the Republicans, the Democrats in the U.S., anywhere. So, and I think there's a mixing of what is kusala and akusala with, in terms of the sides and politics, which is, quote, right and which is not, because each side in the politics story thinks they are right, whereas it really comes down to the jitta at the moment.
I think that we should understand what politics is before we can talk about it, because people think of politics like sides, but what actually is it?
Jitta, sika and rupa, thinking.
The white or the black?
Still thinking.
Politics.
Yeah.
When one takes politics for black and white, it's not politics, to my understanding. I'd like to understand what politics really is. Idea with ignorance, attachment, aversion, as all beings, no matter politician or not. So, can there be good politician? What is that? If you don't try to help people to have kusala, there will never be good politicians at all.
That's true, because
is a what we call a politician is really just jeta-sika
yeah.
and rupa.
Yeah. They can be good politicians when there is understanding.
When there is understanding.
Yeah.
I think the word gets people excited, word politician, but I think it's just another story.
Right.
And it's really, are we speaking the truth or are we lying? You know, and is it honesty that we're dealing with things or not? Of course, I think that it's really up to every moment and how we act and how if we are helping other people. I don't think Thay wants to become the king of Vietnam. He just wants to have a different approach to governing. And willing to try to, and that's my feeling. Of course, I appreciate him because I agree with him. But I think that it's your actions at any moment and your thoughts that, and politics is considered dirty, but every moment is a different word, a different thought, a different motivation to me.
I think there are two issues. One is, for oneself, what is one's consideration or what is one's motivation and intention, and only one can know, only one's panya can know for oneself what is the reality at any moment. And then when we're concerned about the other's interests, then again it's back to our own citta. What is the reason for concern? Is it just because it's my husband? Is Tam concerned about your interest? I don't think it will bother her at all because you're not living in the same household. So one has to know one's own citta, whether one's really concerned or whether it's because of one's own attachments. It comes back to one's own citta, I think.
Well, I'm going to bring this down from politics to just between friends, because a kusala action on my part, doing it for my friend, she may take it as a kusala. I'm just thinking a situation, a very dear friend is very sick, living on her own, and is dangerous, in my opinion, because she's falling, and I feel she should not be on her own. But she does not want to move. So I think out of compassion, I'm afraid for her, and I encourage her to look to live elsewhere. She probably thinks I am concerned for her. She doesn't want to. So she thinks that's not right. I mean, she doesn't like me to say that. So I don't say it anymore because it's not good. But I'm a kusala action for her. But I think she sees it as being a kusala. She doesn't feel that as helpful. Could that be that a kusala action on one part could be taken as a kusala by somebody else?
But no one can change a kusala to kusala.
I also think that we've been saying all along that only panya can know what is kusala, what kusala arising now here. We cannot know anything about others, right?
So let's understand what really politics is. To me, I think that we have family, our friends' family, and families and families and families as a country, right? Do we not have any responsibility for the others in the house and on and on and on and on, until it's the country and the world? But I think that with ignorance, one take black to as white or white as black. But right understanding can understand. The more you understand reality, the more you can see the moment of kusala and akusala. You will not kill, you will not tell a lie, no matter what happened, to help the other to follow the right way. To behave or to do to friends and families and the others. So it does mean that we close our eyes and we don't look on the others at all. Just leave them as their own karma. But if you can do, you do. I mean, I, not you. If I can do, I'll do. And I have done too.
But I'm just...
You might not have known.
It just comes to my mind, like, for me, the greatest gift that you share with us is your understanding of the Dharma. And we never discuss politics together. And suppose that, and I'm very grateful for your sharing of the Dharma, but suppose that you have one opinion about the politics and I have another one. See?
But you know, the truth is the truth that we have to find out before we do anything. It doesn't mean that we just follow, but we have to understand clearly, evidence, everything, so clear.
So that comes from the understanding of the Dharma.
Right.
So what I am getting at is, when we say that in a conventional sense that we are helping others,
another
person might not think that it is helping.
It doesn't matter at all. Because it's one's own understanding. We don't mind or care what people think. If we do mind and care, not enough time to think about anything at all.
But it's very difficult to really think that it's what I am doing for others in a general way can be kusala for them.
But you have to understand, first of all, whether it is or it's not. It's not just follow one's own akusala. But one has to be very discreet. What is right and what is not right? Can you help? Will you help if you can? Just for kusala.
I think you're thinking too broad, too wide a term. You have to think in one individual. So for my instance, my friend, I think what I'm doing is kusala. She doesn't agree with me. But she's still my friend. I'm not going to fight her or I give my opinion. I understand why she doesn't want to. So we don't talk about that anymore, but we're still friends. It's easy to think on individual. If you're thinking too big, it's too big to think in politics and country, and I think you don't deal one instant, one moment, now, at a time.
Yes, that is, I think, where everyone can agree with, see? Like, everyone can agree that at a certain moment, what is kusala is kusala, and what is akusala is akusala.
But not everyone can see, not everyone sees the right understanding. What is my kusala may not be your kusala.
But the nature of it is... It's kusala, always kusala, right?
Kusala is kusala, but how can I say?
It doesn't matter who take it for
kusala. It is what it is.
Right. And you feel much better. Otherwise, you feel trouble.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I think if we don't do anything, and we just study Dhamma, which we should do, then, you know, someday we live in a family, as Ajahn said. If we don't help the family, then little by little, what happens? And in some cases, you can see where people become inactive and do nothing. And then the results can be bad. So you hope that people who have kusala intentions and kusala actions will help the family. Otherwise, the people who are greedy and selfish and have wrong view will make things much worse for everybody. So I think, of course, some people don't have accumulations to be involved in that way. And that word politics does have a dirty sound. But there are good people who are really trying to help their family.
And the other, I can just say from personal experience, for example, a being with a long, dirty rap sheet who's very slippery to prosecute, career criminal, organized crime, what have you, let's say goes out and rapes a woman. Now, his colossal ego tells him he's handsome and highly desirable. By his justifications, an elaborate series of justifications, he hasn't harmed this woman. He's her fantasy come true. But the woman is harmed. So I think it leads, the question arises, Ajahn, about compassion. What is compassion?
Thinking about the others with compassion, understanding. And if one can help, one helps. Compassion. Otherwise, you just close your eyes while the others are suffered.
And the near enemy of compassion is feeling sad. So if one feels sad when one hears about someone's difficulty or problem, then for sure if there's any unpleasant feeling, it's not compassion.
Having pity.
Having pity is not compassion.
I'm thinking of the Buddha. I'm recalling at least three times when the Buddha directly involved himself in conflict. And when I first read it, I thought, oh, that seems really strange. And perhaps the first example, and the most classic example, is when the Brahmin who was an advisor to King Ajatasattu came to see the Buddha, and he wanted to know if he could invade the Lichavi kingdom. And the Buddha spoke to Ananda and said, I automatically thought he would just dismiss that question, but he didn't. He answered the question. He said, Ananda, do those Lichavi princes meet together regularly? Do they have concord with one another? Do they treat those who are less vulnerable well? And he went on. I can't remember all the eight.
Observe
the traditional ways. So the Buddha, and I, when I first read this, I thought, oh. So he directly involved himself in many ways. He was speaking the truth, but he involved himself. The other example, of course, which is perhaps the most classic, was when the two tribes were going to fight each other and the Buddha over water. And the Buddha reminded them that what is more important, water or blood? And, of course, there's no response to that. You know, obviously, to fight would bring about bloodshed, and they didn't fight. There are other occasions. So people may say, yes, that's the Buddha, he will know. But we've all got different accumulations, and I think it's I'm just feeling around, and I notice that it brings up some quite strong feelings, and it will come down to that sense of compassion. We often tied up with what to do. It's difficult sometimes, very difficult, but I think the issue shouldn't be dismissed lightly.
Well, I'm not familiar with the second one, but the first one, I'm not sure if it's true to say that the Buddha involved himself in the conflict, because in answering the question, he gave a response, but I wouldn't call it an answer to the question. I would call it a teaching on kusala, developing kusala. And what he in fact was saying was that kusala gama brings kusala vipaka. That is obviously the best way to answer any question, if the person is capable of understanding the difference between kusala and agusala, and encouraged to develop more kusala. So I think we should be wary about thinking that the Buddha involved himself in conflict directly, or politics.
What Ajahn said about kusala and that understanding realities leads to more kusala, which leads to better politics, as well, and Kusala can cares about others in any way, including politics.
And also, in answer partly to Eve's question, what is compassion? In the absolute sense, it is one of the wholesome mental factors. So as we were discussing yesterday, it can only be known as and when it arises if there is the understanding that knows the difference between wholesome and unwholesome jittas, moments of consciousness. And one cannot know from the kind of thought or the subject matter. Just because it's about another doesn't mean, of course, it's wholesome. So again, it comes back to having the need for there to be better understanding of the difference between wholesome moments and unwholesome moments. And then that would be the beginning of understanding compassion and the opportunity for its development.
When I give money to the poor to help them, do you appreciate?
Yes.
And if the country is very poor,
one helps.
See?
The question is whether
a little closer to politics.
The question whether it's gusala or not, though, is a different matter. Because giving money to the poor,
yes,
there can be gusala or
help them to live in order to understand, right?
Sure.
Understanding. You see that we have many, many things to think about, not only study Dhamma, because not everyone can understand the teachings. It's so very, very subtle. Mm. That's why if we can help the students or the patients in the hospital or the poor to have better living and also help them to understand the teachings too, that's the point. Mm. Because one person just donated money to the foundation, and I asked that lady, why didn't you give to other places like hospital and schools? She said that I had done a lot, but the patient, when they were recovered, the same. See, or student just grown up, the same. So she thought that the best way is to help people to have right understanding, and that's true. So, but you see that can people be in situation enough to develop understanding if the surroundings and everything is not favorable? So I think that in case that whatever comes right then, if one can help, should one not help? From time to time. Even the enemy, see? If he's sick, should we cure or nurse or care?
I know it's a delicate topic. Just responding to Jonathan there before, when you said the Buddha didn't involve himself in politics. I mean, yes, I could hear where you're coming from. But I would say that politics essentially is about people, and the Buddha did care, as we know, profoundly about people. So I don't know, it seems slightly disingenuous to say to me that the Buddha didn't involve himself in politics. I think he did. Perhaps not as we term them today. And his whole life seemed to me to revolve around that. And yes, he didn't directly answer the Brahmin who asked the question, but the Buddha had many different ways of, inverted commas, answering questions. Sometimes it was silence, sometimes it was just the counter question, sometimes it was an elaborate response, which he gave, in this case, to the Brahmin. And other times too, where other people were going to harm one another, and he directly involved himself and asked really profoundly beautiful questions to the people who were one of the protagonists who were involved, and they really rethought the direction that they were going to go down. Yeah. So.
in the well-known case of the lady who lost her family and came weeping and wailing to the Buddha, and he asked her to fetch the mustard seed, which eventually led to her gaining understanding. One could say, well, he involved himself in psychoanalysis or whatever. He didn't. He helped people to understand the truth about realities. And it's true that there was context to his teaching, always context. And that's what distinguishes the suttas from, say, the Abhidhamma. So when he was talking to monks who had wrong practice of different kinds, like the fire-worshipping monks, he taught in terms of fire. When he was talking to kings and warriors, he taught in terms of conflict. But always the underlying teaching is the same, and it's about understanding present moment realities as I see it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think that because we discuss many things. We discuss about kusala, akusala, helping others, and getting involved, and those are many the terms that each one have to be defined clearly. Otherwise, we're not clear about what each other is saying. So I think even when we say that I am involved in politics, many people can be involved in politics for different reasons. And so only oneself and the degrees of panya that can tell whether this involvement is conditioned by karuna or metta, or by just clinging to ideas, right? So without the development of understanding, like you've been sharing with us, that we immensely appreciate, I think that would not be possible to distinguish.
That's why we should know how come to be politics.
Come to be
politics. If people just live alone. So what condition? Politics. For whom? But it depends on the politicians. That's why we should help them to be good for the whole country, people.
And I think you mentioned, Sundra, sometimes it's difficult to know what to do or not do, but actually whatever is thought about now, whatever is done is by conditions anyway. So it's a matter of understanding now more about cittas. So that is the way that whatever deeds are performed by conditions, there will be more kusala and more help, no matter how one's involved in society. And that's why in the commentary we were discussing to that sutta, the other day, it talks about no matter the topic is about worldly affairs or kings or politics or whatever it is, it depends on the mode of attention, whether it is yoniso or ayoniso manasikara, depending.
Thank you, John, for getting politics distilled when you spoke of the politics of the household, the politics of the garden, before these large city-states came and humans were sparse population. I think ultimately it boils down to relationships and compassion and Dhamma to distill it down to the smallest unit and build from there. Then healthy politics in household, healthy kusala in household, in garden, next door neighbor, city states, and so forth. But the smallest, simplest unit is Dhamma, is it?
I think President Obama was an honest heart person who had a lot of compassion, and people were very excited, but he didn't really understand about killing. And when he got into office and they asked him to use drones and kill more people. He was surrounded by wrong understanding. And for all the good person that he probably was at some level, his understanding was weak when it came to killing. But compared to the other person they might have elected, probably, who knows, but the signs were not good that that person had more understanding. So in the end, we have a family and somebody's going to make decisions for us. And it seems it can be useful to try to pick somebody that you hope will have more understanding of the teachings at one level or another. That's all.
That's why if we can help having the understanding person or the understanding politicians, that's the best way.
I haven't studied these details, but it all depends also on one's intention. Like, for example, when one's intention is to give an order for some bombing or drone attack, is the intention to wipe out a station or a fuel depot, or is the intention to kill or whatever? So again, one just has to know for oneself at any moment. Like we had a little example in Vietnam, this is a little bit like Bev's example of taking it smaller. Someone mentioned about their puppy dog, which was covered in fleas, and they took it to the doctor, but they know what the doctor will do, and was this right or wasn't this not right, but it depends on one's intention. The point is that one can't judge by the appearance or the situation, because who knows what instruction was given to the military commander or maybe or whatever. So it always comes back to one's own cheetah regardless.
But that's why understand reality, and then you can help the other to understand better. The end.
I have a question about metta and karuna, compassion, because usually we talk about how there is many more opportunities for metta in a day, because any time when one is with people, one can help, one can be friendly, one can show kindness, but karuna is only when one sees the suffering in another that there are opportunities to help. But we know, for example, the Buddha had the greatest compassion because he had compassion for all beings. So we can say actually that the more understanding, the more opportunities there are for compassion, because one sees the harm and the danger of ignorance no matter where or who one is with. Any comments?
So I think that we have to understand the reality of metta. It is adosa cetasika. Whenever there is adosa, there is friendliness. So no matter where and when, not just morning, not evening, so on, anytime, when there is adosa, one can be friendly. One will not get angry. Even the bad words from whoever, friends or family member or whatever. So adosa cetasika, any moment it arises, it is friendly. But compassion is when there are those who are in trouble, sufferings, that if you could help, if you help, it is karuna cetasika which arises.
But my point was that when the more understanding one sees the difficulty whenever ignorance or attachment arises in life, because this is the cause actually of all problems in life. So the Buddha had the greatest compassion because he can see the difficulty and the unsatisfactoriness of any dharma, any time. So whenever he's with people, there is compassion. So with more understanding, more opportunities for
compassion.
For all kusala.
For all kusala.
Yeah. And that's why he said he himself was the best Kalyana Mitta. Mitta is friend. Friendliness. And also he has great compassion because the world is in trouble. Because of kilesa harms the world. So one world at a time.
So the more understanding, the more kusala of all kinds, metta, karuna, no matter the circumstances, no matter one is talking about politics or anything else.
So metta can be any time, and karuna when someone is sick or trouble.
Or not understanding.
That is great trouble.
So for me, I just have some small opinions about politics, not much, a little bit. But when I see that the people even in the country that is the most civilized, like most well organized and rich, and people live, in relative justice, even in those countries, people still suffer from ignorance and wrong views. So I think that is the best way. It's really to develop understanding and helps in that way. It's my own accumulations. Because when we think about making a change in the world like that, it's like going to the, not to the source of the problem, like you mentioned.
Well, it's a bit like those who are working to alleviate or eradicate poverty. As we know, poverty will never be eradicated. There will always be poverty, we know, just as there will always be very rich people. It doesn't mean that one shouldn't strive to help those who are poor and raise them out of poverty. And it may be that many of the people working in that field have an incorrect view of what's possible and what's achievable. So I think it just comes down to the individual's accumulations. They may want to go to another country and work and help the people there. One wouldn't discourage it, of course. But if they had the idea that it was going to make a big change, then one might point out the difficulties in achieving that. I think it's the same with any of these things. I take your point that ultimately little change can be effected, little can be achieved in the way of change for the better, but still people are bound to want to get involved in those things.
This is a rich discussion, interesting. Evidently the Buddha thought that it was important to address the worldly conditions, and just glanced at that quickly. And no one escapes those. It's part of being this realm. And I had a conversation brief with Kun Jonathan about Nina Van Gorkum's book and anatta having another meaning of powerlessness, and to, with panya arising, understand powerlessness over conditions and various states arising, that the self, which is non-existent ultimately, there is no controlling over this, but yet there is also, when metta arises, right action with kusala, compassion, for example, and so forth. So politics and the things involved here that have been discussed, the thought arises about the worldly conditions and the Buddha's sutta on that. Gone are compliance and hostility.
Then we come back to study just one word at a time. What is the world?
Mm-hmm.
this is the whirling matter, but what is the world?
She's asking.
It's a Dharma.
If nothing arises at all, can there be any world?
Nothing arises.
No world. But whenever only a reality arises, that is a world.
Seeing ceases.
Just one
object.
Conditioned reality, the arising of whatever, it's a world. But now there are conditions for everything to arise here and there, the whole world. So we take it for the whole world, but actually it's just one reality, it's a world. Like seeing the world of seeing, hearing the world of hearing, thinking now is the world of thinking, just one world at a time. So understanding Dhamma is like understanding the world. Or when it's not the understanding the world, it's not the understanding of Dhamma. No world, no Dhamma to understand if nothing arises.
So the world is burning.
Right now with Kilesa. Kilesa burns. Citta is burnt by akusala cetasika.
And it's not a matter of
thinking about whether one should be interested in politics or this topic or that topic, because at each moment, each dhamma is conditioned. So seeing is conditioned. It's just one world at that moment. Thinking now, whatever it thinks about is conditioned, just that one world at that moment. So it's not a matter of having the idea I should just study Dhamma because this is the most useful thing and not this or that, because each moment of interest, each moment of thinking is conditioned anyway, not in anyone's control or power. So who knows at next moment where accumulations will lead one or what the interest will be. Like at breakfast, usually I don't often have conversations about politics, but I was sitting next to Tom and I know it's his interest, so that's what I ask him about, because I know that's what he is interested in. So who knows, from moment to moment, I don't know who I will sit next to or what the topic will be. But so it just depends on citta from moment to moment, that's conditioned, and it can be kusala or akusala at that moment.
And I think that if we don't really understand what politics is, we cannot say that I'm interested or not interested.
Can be the can be a meta moment that you talk to a topic that someone else interested in, right?
I think that the Buddha talked to many different people with many interests. Just for that reason. And even when he left his group and became enlightened, he could have sat and done nothing. But he chose to go the other path of teaching when he saw what a challenge that would be. You know, was like Buddhist politics. You know, he took a brave step to be willing to try to teach this to everyone, a huge act of compassion. So is, in a way, that was politics in the realm of the Sangha of that time. So I think in some ways you could say he was leading by example, but I think any act of compassion to help either other people in any way can be kusala.
And as Tom said earlier, well, any
topic, it's about Dhamma, so even the beginning of the discussion, I know if I talk about Nisyapachyan Hadiawatu, Tom will be interested, but you and Tom are not here very long, and I thought Glenn might be here, so I know this is more useful and more interesting way to discuss Dhamma for you.
It's just thinking when we say about politics. So it can be right or wrong thinking. Wholesome or unwholesome thinking.
And actually it's just about the same kind of dharmas, but it's good, like the Buddha taught, from many different approaches and angles and using different kinds of language which were familiar to the listeners. And it's the same thing if one's not interested in the approach. If one just talks about different citta seekers or something, it may not be interesting, but this is also about cittas, citta seekers and rupas. But
and I think that when there's more understanding, we can understand everyone in the world. Seeing is not Thai. Vietnamese, French, seeing is seeing. So reality is, have no nationality at all. So the whole world become object of understanding of Dhamma, only Dhamma. And I think that thinking about politics is another angle or side of compassion or metta, it can be. Because it's not only oneself.
Something sensitive between me and Tiny Tom.
Not only to more than that.
Yeah.
Even not the only helper.
Yeah.
Or country. Yeah.
Yeah. Only even in the family, different ideas.
Because sometimes I saw the news and I see that the government did something wrong and I disagree with that, and then voice ups. And normally Tom said that, well, it's like it's a kusala moment that.
And what about women not talking about that? Is it that akusala? Different object, that's all, of thinking.
No, because I think at the time it's not the problem of kusala or akusala, but it's just maybe he thinks that all the result of karma refer to the government, but not to one's own karma. Because like...
So, what is government? Again, starting with, what is it?
It's just... what?
Everyone's own karma and vipaka.
Yes. That's right. Like you were born in Vietnam, or you were born in Western country, and you were born under the certain regions. It depends on your own karma. Mm-hmm.
In a group of different countries, combination, relation.
I didn't get what your... So your point was what? That
I see. Because I meant that it's not the problem, it's kusala or akusala, but what I meant is because he used to blame that maybe or poor people because of the government's policies.
Uh-huh.
But I say it is just one's own karma.
Not understanding karma.
Yes, right. Mm. It's just the issues there, but not this akusala or kusala.
But even if someone is born poor or something, we know that there are the results of karma, but that doesn't mean that cannot help as well.
Yes, it's another
issue. Yeah. Like if someone is born disfigured because of karma, it doesn't mean they cannot have surgery or so.
Right.
It's a difference. So it's true that...
Yeah.
So what's important, the politics or the politicians?
But even when you think you're helping people, but it also depends on the citta. Because why these people but not the other people? It's just very truthful to oneself.
So what shall we do? Study Dhamma, understanding, helping, having kindness, compassion or kusala.
And is one more concerned about the other's kusala or one's own kusala? That's the question.
I'm speaking on behalf, but I think that she's more concerned about views than kusala or akusala.
Is it not right or wrong understanding when you talk about view? Right is right and wrong is wrong. But who can know that? Only the one who understands the truth. The best thing is to understand the truth of everything.
When talking about politics, for example, there may not be any views involved. Mm-hmm. Views about realities, that is. There's only views about conventional things, as a rule. And these are not right or wrong views in the Dhamma term.
What about good politicians and bad politicians?
Only convention. Not in the Dhamma sense.
No really? No reality? Wholesomeness and wholesomeness.
In Dhamma terms, good means kusala. And bad means akusala.
Right.
So that's all.
Can there not be good politicians?
Good politicians can have akusala and bad politicians can have kusala. So I don't see, you can't classify a politician as good because one doesn't know their jitta anyway.
Different.
So the killer is not bad.
Sorry?
The killer is not bad.
Killing is akusala.
And the killer?
Commits akusala.
Without killing, can that person be killer?
The killer commits akusala gamma pata.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. But without killing, can there be any killer?
No.
Mm-hmm. So what a killer is?
He, in terms of that particular...
Only that moment of killing.
Yeah, he's bad at that moment. Mm-hmm. Then he's also capable of kusala, moments of kusala, at other times.
I just want to back to my politics story.
It's life and it's reality. It's Dhamma. Different aspects, that's all.
Because in Vietnam it's a little bit different. I mean, the politics, we got just one party, so normally I usually talk about what they did is wrong or what they did is right, and sometimes I support to the activities that I think that they do good for the human rights, like they protest for the wrong thing and help the poor people. And that's what I involve in the politics, that I talk out loud. I mean, let's say put it on the internet, comments about this, comment about that, what is wrong and what is right, and help the activities for the people.
So the point is whether one should not involve but interested in politics or not at all. What's the use and what is the benefit? Not beneficial.
Well, it's not really a question of should if there are conditions.
No,
there can be interest in politics.
But if you know what politics is, mm-hmm. not only you, what about the others?
I think we can take your earlier example of the family and say, should one be interested in the family's welfare? But different members of the family will take an interest according to their particular accumulation. Some will want to look after the wealth side of the family welfare and others the health side.
Yeah.
So It's like that with politics. Some people naturally incline towards participating in the decisions at that level, and others have little or no interest in actually participating, and they may have an interest in reading it in the paper but not actually care much about the outcome.
Depends on conditions, accumulations.
So what about people who are interested in sports?
The same, exactly.
Very interested in one team or one player or another player. Just a different story in a way. But worrying about the well-being of others is very different than just worrying whether my team or your team wins or loses. So I think it...
The way the world is.
Yeah, it's the way the world is.
Even in the religion area, the same, exactly.
Just thinking, even in the field of popular music, because the news headlines have been dominated by David Bowie's death for the last week.
Well, just a few days ago, they celebrated the death of Martin Luther King. Now, here was a person, not celebrated, but, who commemorated. And here was a man who worked tirelessly for the well-being of other people. Easily could be called a politician.
Depending on Sankara Kanda.
Yeah.
See, just one moment arises and falls away, never to arise again. Nothing's left, but there are conditions for the next one to arise on and on and on.
Talking about people who fight for the others, and so I think stepping into a very vast territory, because like we know that many people who are said to fight for others, but they kill also a lot. They kill in the name of fighting for others or fighting for justice or something. So it's not
because of ignorance, but and not fighting. With akusala?
Fighting with akusala. With kusala?
Kusala fights or to have less akusala.
And many people who are considered good in terms of their public persona have a not good private life. So they cannot. We can't say good or bad.
So what do you think about fighting?
It depends on the meaning of the word.
That's it.
What the citta is there.
That's it. If fight for good, like politics and so on.
I thought we were talking about...
But it does mean killing.
It depend on the citta?
That's why I think that we should talk about what is fighting. I am not fighting? Are you not fighting? Or what is fighting?
A concept.
No reality?
There are realities. The realities are the jittas and
jettisikas. Akusala and kusala are opposite.
Mm-hmm. So two sides are fighting. The whether good or not can be measured by conventional standards, or there we can consider the degree of kusala or akusala involved, and there might be different outcomes depending on whether one is making a conventional judgment or considering the realities.
So what is fighting?
Conventional terms or Dhamma terms?
Absolute
terms. Citta, citta, sikha, rupa.
Kusala and akusala.
Kusala and akusala.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Because that must be always citta, citta, sikha.
Mm-hmm.
Any time, any error thinking,
right,
whatever.
So in absolute terms, we can't say one side is good, one side
enemy.
Is bad.
Because you see that the enemy fight, but we fight, but we are not enemy of anyone at all. Possible
for the person who has developed gusala and who understands the difference between moments of gusala and moments of sadala gusala.
Someone fights and be enemy, but one can fight not be enemy.
Yeah, a person may say that, like a politician may say, I'm doing it
this
for the good.
This is the truth.
He may say, absolutely, he or she may say, I'm doing it for the good of the country, but that doesn't mean
it's gusala.
You don't
talk about those who have strong understanding or are gusala.
Right.
But can the good one fight too?
A person with highly developed gusala could take part in political discussions.
I don't mean political, just fight.
Fight.
Yeah.
Argue? You mean argue or?
No, fight.
Fight. if they.
Panya and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Panya is not
enemy. We cannot judge the jitta by the action.
No, panya is not.
Yeah.
Just it.
We don't know.
Yeah, but
if the
we talk about
fighting,
we talk about right understanding, which is panya, and ignorance. Ignorance is enemy.
Right.
But panya is not anyone's enemy.
Right.
But does panya fight?
In terms of absolute realities, yes, panya eradicates, it overcomes, it kills, if you like, ignorance.
So in America, we've had many soldiers that go to fight for their nation. Even in Vietnam, many soldiers went to fight for America in Vietnam to protect us from communism and from Muslims, and they all feel they're serving the nation. They're not going there to for their personal well-being at all, but they will go and kill and hurt other people.
So they fight for us?
They think they are fighting for us.
I think that otherwise they wouldn't be soldier.
Right.
For the others. They know that they'll die. For sure, in war, sometimes, if it happens. But they can do that for the others.
But if they are told that
for
not,
sure.
But if what they are told
is not true, then
it depends on jitta.
Yep.
But we live happily when there are soldiers.
So Adan, are you saying then that soldiers, for instance, American soldiers who went to fight in Vietnam, believing they were doing good for their country and others,
for their country and others,
for those
selfishness.
Well, they know they believed they were doing the right thing, fighting for their country, for democracy, against communism, fighting on behalf of the Vietnamese people, and these people, I think there are moments they would believe they were fighting, for the good. Well, they can't say kusala because I don't think they understood what gusala was, but they're fighting and they're killing people in the name of these things.
But when it is one's own selfishness, it cannot be gusala.
Correct. But I think many of them went not feeling selfish. they honestly believed they were doing the right thing.
So in that case, is killing justified? Is that what you want to ask?
So how Panya eradicates or even kills ignorance, a historical account of a young boy, David, who was very good with a slingshot. There were an army of giants called the Philistines who were just killing people. And of course, how can one reason with that, come out speaking Dhamma or something like that, is you die. But he did something very brave and noble with his slingshot. As a boy, grown men were afraid and ran away. They were just no match for him. He killed the Philistine.
Different moments.
He was moved by compassion because the killing.
Different moments.
But, it depends on the citta.
At that very moment.
At that very moment. And right action. So it's certainly a very difficult question. Certainly not anything that I would ever hope to understand, but just a little tiny understanding.
Each moment is conditioned. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting discussion about this. Thank you.
Real metta. It's to everyone, right? It doesn't go to only my own nation or this group of people and not the other. So when there's real metta, we cannot kill someone else because of another person.
At that very moment, impossible, because it has to be done with dosa mulacitta.
Oh, there is something I wanted to comment, that arose to comment on is, there is training for military, and various governments or countries imbue their soldiers with a certain ideology, probably not Buddhism, but they actually do go over there and think what they're doing is right. So I don't know. It's a big question mark there whether.
Whether one knows or not, ignorance is ignorance, attachment is attachment, and at the moment of intending to kill or killing, it is akusala for sure, and that when there is the killing, it is karmapata that will bring its results. So no matter what one's told, it doesn't change the fact that kusala is kusala and akusala is akusala. Ignorance is ignorance.
Sometimes the wholesome realities are compared with the warrior, right? Warrior. Fine. War between kusala and akusala.
And I think the point about different interests is because one cannot be, say, studying or talking about Dhamma all the time because one has many accumulations and many interests. So if it's not this interest, it'll be another interest, but actually just different kinds of Dhammas. So for me, whether I'm reading the newspaper about politics or reading the Dhamma book, I don't think of one as being right or one wrong or one better or one worse, because either way they're just different dhammas, different jitas, kusala, akusala, moments of wise reflection, moments of unwise reflection, regardless. So however one's life goes, whatever the interest is, it's just by conditions at that very moment.
I don't think that is what anyone is suggesting, that there should not be interest in politics or there shouldn't be actions, something like that. But I think it's good that we have the discussions like this to clarify, because the more we talk about it, the more we understand the matter better, and you can condition.
And maybe it means also when one has those discussions, or one can reflect more in terms of what's wholesome and what's unwholesome at those times, and one has to just know for oneself when one's reading or studying or discussing what khitas there are, what realities there are.
And some might think that the teachings of Buddha do not concern with the world situation or anything at all, but actually the teachings just about everything.
Mm-hmm. But without understanding it as citta, citta, sika, and rupa, it would not be the teaching, right?
And when we talk to other people, whether they are family or friends or just people we're just meeting, there are bound to be many misunderstandings and wrong understandings about the Dharma, so that's why we talk about different realities, but those misunderstandings are going to be there no matter what the interest, whether it's in sport or food or anything. So that's why we talk more and more about Dharmas, to clarify what is right and what is wrong. So that's the purpose of being here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So any questions about karma and
vipaka?
No.
It was a war veteran who told me that a soldier who said, to kill a man is one thing, but then you have to live with it. A war veteran said to me, he's a soldier, he said, to kill a man is one thing, but then you have to live with it.
You remember the action afterwards. You can't forget it.
What reality is that we should remember?
Could you? Remembrance is nimitta, and chetasikas, mental factors, and also citta.
A mental factor performs a function, remembering.
Chetasikas, thank you.
This one mental factor, one chetasika that arises at every moment with every citta, and it marks and remembers at each moment, so at a moment of seeing it, marks and remembers the visible object seen. At a moment of thinking, it marks and remembers the concept that is thought about. And this is sanya, chetasika, which arises at every moment, remembering at each instant. So nothing forgotten at all because of sanya. And it accumulates even now. So not attachment. Sanya it arises at every moment with every citta, so it arises with kusala cittas. It arises with akusala cittas, such as when there is attachment. It arises with vipaka or result cittas.
And this is accumulation.
And so sanya now is marking and remembering each sound heard, each idea thought about, and that sanya accumulates. So that's why tomorrow there can be reflecting on what has been heard now. So the reason there can be thinking about these dharmas or remembering the names of the people in the room is because of sanya. In Vietnam, someone brought up someone's idea about the gradual teachings and how people have an idea that the Buddha taught first about dana or doing good or something like this, and only when people were ready would he teach about absolute realities. And your comment was that this person doesn't understand the Buddha or the teachings at all, because whatever is taught is about dharmas, dharmas that are anatta. But perhaps the idea is a little bit like we were discussing, if someone is very poor or they just have an interest in politics, that first one may help them with their immediate situation and then talk about dharmas when it's the right time. Do you have any comment?
I think that if one just talk about dana, sila or anything, it's not the teachings of the Buddha. It's not his word, because each of his word contains right understanding of whatever is there. For example, dana is not Thai language, it's not English, but the people in those days know what dana is, to give or giving. That's not enough to be Buddha, just tell people to give, but to know what it is. Even sila, see, people before the time of the Buddha's enlightenment also observed sila, but it's not parami, know nothing about it. It's I for I, so it's not the teachings of the Buddha. That's why we learn that the teachings is about that which is now appearing. It's Dhamma, to understand.
Yes, yesterday evening at supper, one friend was mentioning about do good, and I was saying, well, yes, and remember, not I, not anyone who does good, because if one has the idea of just doing good or just giving or just observing sila, but it's all I who does it, then as you say, it's not the Buddha's teachings. And also it's just an idea of the situation or the behavior. Actually, there isn't any understanding of what kusala citta is and akusala citta, like sila. If there's no understanding of what is kusala and what is akusala, then how can anything be known about sila?
He didn't just say giving, dana, enough. That's not his teachings. More than that, much more than that. And he just said to those who came to see him about whatever was there. Seeing. Is there seeing right now? Is it permanent? What is the object which is seen? See? To be understood as not self. And what under what subject is understanding, seeing, see, not dana.
When you mentioned with regard to the Eightfold Path that two path factors are understanding and the rest is samatha, so the first two concern with understanding and the rest concern with samatha. Well, I'm just saying that what Ajahn mentioned, what her words were, that two were under understanding and the rest were under samatha, but no mention of sila. I'm just interested to hear more.
So we have to understand what is sila again.
Well, we're talking about the path. It is certainly kusala citta, but sila means behavior of citta, so it can be kusala or akusala or Abhyagata for sure.
So what's the question?
The question is, usually when people talk about the path, we talk about it in terms of understanding sila and samatha or samadhi, but you were talking about it in terms of two factors under understanding and the rest six factors as samatha.
It's in the Pitaka.
Yes.
What are the two?
Right understanding and samasankapa, right thinking, would be understanding.
It's in the teachings in Tipitaka. Because some people might think that when one develops right understanding, there's no calm. But actually, the Eightfold Path comprises both. samatha and vipassana. No need for extra development of samatha at all. As one understands that any moment of kusala is calm.
Yesterday we said that the moment of calm is samatha, but it's not the development of samatha if there's not understanding which understands that reality as calm. So when you say that when the vipassana is developed, samatha is also developed, is it because of that? Or it's the moment is
different
also?
Level of understanding.
Okay.
Because you see that if now at this moment there is no understanding of the distinction, the difference between kusala and akusala, how can there be the development of kusala? So it needs a level of panya which is able to know the difference between moment of kusala and akusala. But for vipassana, it's not only that. It's the understanding of the nature of reality which appears.
So at the same time, samatha can be said to be developed as well? Or it's
certainly because all kusala moments are calm, kusala. Akusala cannot be calm. So calm here doesn't mean that one doesn't think about those and that, but it's moment of wholesome jitasikas arise, so it's calm. But sati jitasika, not even samadhi.
The question is whether it's those moments are sure to be calm, but is it also called samatha bhavana or is only
not at all only samatha? Because bhavana is the development of more and more, and the purpose is to be away from the world of sensuous objects. Because the result of the degree of the state that one has attained, even the first one, conditioned the birth in the Rupa Brahma.
I think your question is about moments of Satipatthana. Yes. Are they considered the development of samatha also, right?
Yes.
And I think the answer, as Ajahn has previously explained, would be yes. Because
vipassana different.
Yeah. But vipassana bhavana means the development of understanding and samatha together, yoked together.
Because the purpose of samatha bhavana is to attain jhana, which will condition birth in the Brahma world. Because they see the danger of the attachment to sensuous objects. But at moment of satipatthana, the calm with right understanding of that level is much better than samatha bhavana, which will lead only to the birth in the Brahma world. That's why all patipatha paths which do not lead to enlightenment are wrong path, mitcha patipatha.
And that's why when you see references, for example, in suttas to understanding and calm, samatha, for example, being yoked together, it's actually referring to the samatha developed in the development of vipassana.
Are you talking about the sutta where the Buddha said there are four ways in which enlightenment, like samatha before and samatha after, or samatha before and vipassana after?
Ananda, I think.
Yukkanatha.
Yeah.
And also at moment of path consciousness, the ekagata is level of jhana, whether or not mundane jhana has been attained.
What about the moments of vipassana jnana? Is it considered the level of access concentration also? Of the, the ekagata at that moment of vipassana jnana, is it considered to be of equivalent strength of access concentration?
At that moment. And but I think the, and so we read about two kinds of jhana, but I think in terms of that sutta you mentioned, Yuganada Sutta,
then it's referring to those who had developed samatha to jhana first, and then so different by accumulations. Yes,
I think if it's the one I'm thinking of, was the Venerable Ananda, and he was saying that everyone who has attained already has attained by one of four ways, which he describes. So these are sometimes read as being ways of practice that one aims for, but that's not the meaning of the sutta as I see it. It's just the fact that it happened that way for that person. And so he divides it into four ways, but they're not four different ways of developing the path.
I have notes on jhana. One is patience and the other one is burning. Could I have further clarification on the definition or meaning of the word jhana? Please, thank you.
I haven't heard this idea of patience. The meaning of jhana is burning. So at that moment, the kilesa, the defilements, are burnt temporarily. They don't arise. No attachment to sensuous objects at that moment, at that time.
Although it does not mean patience, perhaps jhana helps to develop patience to endure the burning.
Have you heard anything about patience as a definition of jhana?
No.
Because they rise together like viriya jetasika, that's all.
Many wholesome factors arise at that moment with that citta.
I think that we take the Pali terms very serious, while the Makati people in Makata province or country, just it's ordinary language for them, their own language. Like upajara, samadhi, it means close to be, apana samadhi. See, so it's close, just close, but not yet. So when we talk about the development of right understanding and vipassana, it is temporarily eliminate the idea of self, but it's not close to enlightenment as samatha bhavana, upajara samadhi is close to apana samadhi, but we don't know how much apart for each one.
So as you said many times that at the moment of vipassana jnana, nothing else appears at that moment. Only the object of understanding that appears through the
only
mind.
One.
So like in upachara samadhi, in samatha development, at that moment also no other objects of the sense arise only. So maybe in that sense, the two can be said to be
by similar. Way of samatha, it can be upajara, but by way of eradication, it's only temporarily. Tathanga samadhi. Tathanga pahana. Tathanga pahana. Pahana means eliminate or eradicate or kill.
Overcome.
Tathanga.
Yeah,
the tanka.
It's like tender insight or
temporarily.
The translation into English of this word.
Momentarily. That is taruna, and this tatanka. Yeah. What is tatanka?
Kusala and against the akusala. Opposites, yeah.
Momentarily, tathanga, it comes from khana, moment to moment. Tathanga.
Anga is factor.
Moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not yet completely or absolutely.
So it's killing
little by little. Eradicate.
Yeah. But I'm interested in the question about when you mentioned about vipassana and jnana and only one object and samatha one, but it's only ever one object that appears.
Just the difference, like now, the sense door appears, right? So the mind door doesn't appear, but at the moment of vipassana, like Ajahn explained, is totally different from now because the mind door appears and not other object appears, only that object at a time.
But actually now, whether it's known or not, only one object appears because of ignorance and lack of understanding. It seems that what is seen lasts for a long time. It seems that it's sensed or, but actually it's only ever one reality for an instant that is experienced and then gone. It's just that it's covered up. So what is experienced at that moment is exactly the same, one object, one reality, but instead of being covered up by ignorance, it's known or revealed, but still just one object now or then.
I have a question from a friend in Vietnam who's listened yesterday, but I think now it's gone. Because yesterday he asked, what is the best thing to do with a dying person? What is the best thing to do with a dying person? But actually, this morning we received the news that that dying person is already dead.
If someone is dying, is dying.
Who can do? Not at all. If you have kusala citta, if kusala citta is there, then you be kind, compassionate, and try your best. That's all. No rule. Each one is different. It's not like magic word or anything.
Can we say the best thing for anyone is to help them understand to the extent to which they are capable of doing so? And I think it's the same if we are dying too. Always the best thing is just to develop understanding, to reflect on what one has heard.
From now, not then.
I think the question comes from the belief in Mahayana that a special thing can be done at the moment of death so that can help the person to be reborn in a good realm. That is the idea behind it.
John has explained many times before that the last moments of jitta are conditioned by past karma, and we don't know karma from which lifetime or anything. So even if we turn the volume up to the full and have the monks chanting or whatever, no way to affect the last moment of life, this life.
Just do your best.
I remember once when we were in Burma and a Burmese gentleman came to see us and his mother was dying and he kept asking Ajahn, but what should I do? What's the best thing to do? And she kept replying, you know best, it's your mother, you do what is suitable for her, but how about understanding now as a seeing now as a visible object? And what kind of cheetah keeps asking this question now? So always back to now and this moment.
But so the Dharma is not about
making rules for behavior in life, but it's about understanding at this moment what appears now.
And we can see how, just as in many things in life, it's no good waiting until the end to think about what's important.
Concerned about what will come at the moment of death and how to prepare about it, it indicates also clinging to oneself, right? Idea of
someone were to say to you, Ajahn,
as they did to me yesterday, well, now I'm 60, 70, and it's too late to start studying the Dharma. It should have started 40 years ago or something like this. What would your answer be?
Too late.
You mean too late to answer now?
Too late to think about it.
No use thinking about what happened
40 years ago. How about now? No point in thinking about what I should have done or what could have. Yeah, but it's now. It's not too late now because there's the opportunity to hear now.
Too late to think now.
Don't think about starting, just start.
Otherwise, it's too late.
Listen. There's no wise considering now, next moment already too late for this one.